This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Now listen to this. You are listening to AWOL Radio on CKMS The Sound 100.3 FM in Waterloo. We are also podcasting on the Rabble Podcast Network at rabble.ca, and you can find AWOL on the web at peaceculture.org.
That was Cabello and the Motherfoo Kings. Here on AWOL Radio with Powwow Bounce. It's a freaking serious song. Gets you going. Gets you going on this Friday. On this Friday here on AWOL Radio. It's past the time AWOL Radio, but topic and conversation. Scott's not in yet. It is April 6th, 2012. And throwing up quite the playlist for the next few hours in case we don't have further programming of the live sort here on AWOL Radio. But in the meantime, we got some news updates from allies at Six Nations. We are not the criminals. Dick Hill and Gene Johns are being found guilty of mischief. April 2nd, 2012. Dick Hill and Gene Johns, Mohawk warriors of Six Nations of the Grand River, were charged with mischief in relation to housing developments protected by an injunction granted to the city of Brantford. They were both arrested and released by the Brantford police on conditions preventing them from going within 1.5 kilometers of any land claim protest. Through a year-long charter challenge, they fought that condition, and Justice K.G. Lenz reduced the zone to 100 meters. In a criminal justice system that would silence Onwehongwe voices, these are their words. Today we are... I'll try again in giving their words. Today we are telling the court that yes, we attended at development sites and caused a delay in construction. We appreciate that a judge will find us guilty of mischief under Canadian law. At the end of this long court process, we are affirmed that there is no justice. When a Canadian judge recognizes that there is development happening on treaty land and there has been no negotiation or consultation prior to shovels in the ground, we are the criminals for attending at the site and demanding to pause to allow some discussion to occur within Six Nations? This is not justice. This is more of the same. This is the reason why Onwehongwe people cannot trust the police, the courts, or the Canadian governments. Our experience shows us that we cannot trust the words offered to Onwehongwe people. Stephen Harper's apology on behalf of Canadians for the Indian residential school system. Canada's commitment to United Nations declarations on the rights of Indigenous peoples. These are recent examples of words that fly in the face of how the government is actually treating our people. We hear these words spoken in court, that the honor of the crown is always at stake when dealing with Onwehongwe people. Treaties were made because the Haudenosaunee Six Nations chose to be allies with the Crown. The City of Brantford, the province, and Canada believe that these treaties never happened. In our case, the judge recognized that no negotiations or consultations have occurred on any of the sites listed in Brantford's injunction. Every one of these sites have been recognized by the federal government as part of a legitimate land claim, and the jurisdiction, ownership, and interest in the land is unsettled. No reconciliation, no benefit or consideration whatsoever to Six Nations, only arrest, jail, and appalling experience of being prosecuted in a criminal court. Where is the honor in this? We know directly from city officials, including the former councillor James Callanan and sitting mayor Chris Friel in Brantford, that the city of Brantford has a strategy to use criminal law to stop any Onwehongwe protests. That strategy, developed with the direct participation of the Brantford Police Service, came to a head with bail conditions preventing anyone who was arrested from coming within 1.5 kilometers of any land development site in which a land claim protest is taking place. Unquote. You force us to grab into a Canadian court to have this condition challenged, knowing that your side is chewing up the land with no regard for treaties, no good faith efforts at negotiations and consultation, and no options for us but to sit back and watch the land be destroyed. When Canada and Ontario play games instead of negotiating good faith, when our land and our future is bargained away without the slightest courtesy to our inherent rights, what options are we left with? In our lifetimes, we have seen the size of Brantford double and Caledonia grow from a bunch of houses on the river. Despite the fact of our treaties, this development goes ahead without any involvement from Six Nations. Canadian law says that there must be negotiation to settle the long-standing issues and consultation before anything. Who holds Canada accountable for failing to live up to their legal promises? No one. There is no justice for any of us in any Canadian court, only towers of lawyers and bottomless pockets ready to use the club of Canadian law to continue your assumed jurisdiction over our land and our people. We have no voice in the Canadian criminal justice system. We could sit in court talking until we are blue in the face, but no one is listening because the Onwehongwe voice does not fit into Canadian law. Growing up native is about looking over your shoulder because the justice system says we're going to get ya. We are not against development. We are against the all-out attack on our children and the future of our people as we get more and more land locked on the reserve. As Haudenosaunee men, we live by our responsibility under the great law of peace, and we understand what needs to be done. We protect this land until such a time that the sun does not shine, the rivers do not flow, and the grass grows no longer. There is no judge, no court, that will ever stop us from doing our duty to the people and the Creator, Six Nations of the Grand River. From Dick Hill and Gene Jones. And in the same vein, the Hamilton Spectator printed a piece of Rudy Montour, well, talking about Rudy. In Dundalk, members of the Six Nations Confederacy Wednesday warned officials from Southgate Township not to proceed with a sludge treatment plant on what they regard as their land. Quote, "The Six Nations will never allow you putting your sludge on our land," said Rudy Montour. "You remember what I am saying tonight. We are not going to accept it." Township Mayor Brian Mullen kept telling Montour, who was with her husband, Floyd, that she was out of order. But she continued to address the meeting and later received a round of applause. The Montours were there representing some of those at Six Nations. The controversy is over a sludge treatment facility being built by Waterloo-based Lysetech International in the industrial park nearby Dundalk. The company plans to convert the sludge, essentially poop, into fertilizer for use in the largely agriculture part of Ontario. However, Floyd Montour told the Star that the site is located on the Haldeman Tract, which includes land stretching on both sides of the Grand River, from its source near Dundalk down to Lake Erie. He said that the land has belonged to Six Nations since a 1784 treaty with the British Crown. This land was bought from Mississauga's Port Credit at the time. Earlier in the day, the Montours joined a few dozen local residents who picketed the building site. They carried signs that read, "What about the children?" and "No stench gate," of course referring to the poop that they're planning on putting out on fields. "We were never consulted about this," Ruby Montour said in a telephone interview, adding she just heard about it a week ago. Floyd Montour added that it's not over. We are just going to play this by ear, day by day. Rawr. Rawr. From our allies up north, Grassy Narrows marks 50 years of mercury poisoning. Grassy Narrows calls on Ontario to fund permanent community-run environmental monitoring station. 2010 study shows mercury in fish still often above safe level. 50 years ago this month, in March, in 1962, Dryden Chemicals began dumping an estimated 10 metric tons of mercury into the Wabagoon River, contaminating the fish which formed the subsistence and economy of three indigenous communities, the Ashwipsagon of Grassy Narrows, the Wabasmoon, White Dog, and some members of the Wabuskang who lived at Quibill. Half a century later, residents of Grassy Narrows are still grappling with long-term health, social, and economic impacts of this infamous act of environmental racism. Mercury levels in Grassy Narrows fish have yet to return to safe levels. Quote, "The government has allowed the logging companies to destroy our forests and give us back only disease and sickness and death," said Judy De Silva, a mother and community organizer in Grassy Narrows. Continuing, "We are calling on McGuinty to help us establish a permanent Grassy Narrows-run environmental monitoring station so we can inform and protect our people from the ongoing damage that pollution and logging are inflicting on our bodies and on our children." Unquote. A 2010 study by Grassy Narrows for the First Nations Environmental Contaminants Program found that 100% of fish flesh samples from English Wabagoon River area had mercury levels above the level which Health Canada recommends against consumption by people who consume a lot of fish. 25% of samples were above the legal limit for commercially sold fish. An earlier study found levels as high as 140% over the legal limit in Grassy Narrows fish. A wild food study conducted by Hollow Water First Nation in nearby Manitoba found that concentrations of mercury in pickerel fish there was far lower and ranged from 0.12 to 0.30 milligrams per kilogram. And we're finding 140% levels right now. Quote, grassy narrows requires control over our land resources for our people to recover from the devastating impacts of mercury pollution on our health, culture, and economy, said Grassy Narrows Chief Forbester. Our people have suffered far too long from harmful decisions imposed on our people against our will. An independent report by world-renowned Japanese mercury expert Dr. Harada found that 79% of Grassy Narrows residents tested in 2002 and 2004 had Minamata disease. Complications or possible Minamata disease. Minamata disease, a term for mercury poisoning, is named for the Japanese town of Minamata, where Dr. Harada first exposed industrial mercury poisoning in the 1960s. This conflict with Health Canada's assertions from the 1990s that 0% of Grassy Narrows patients examined were at risk due to the levels of mercury in their system, leading them to stop testing Grassy Narrows residents for mercury. A report funded by Health Canada wrote that there should be minimal concern for mercury in these two communities. The communities are encouraged to promote the use of local fish resources, and that's from 2003. And yet, in 2007, an independent Grassy Narrows fisherman was charged and pled guilty in a Kenora court to one count of unlawfully selling fish tainted by mercury contamination, contrary to the Ontario Fish Inspection Act. MNR conservation officers from the Kenora district discovered the nets set in Grassy Narrows Lake near the community on September 4th, 2005. Forensic tests of the fish done at the Canadian Food Inspection Agency in Winnipeg revealed mercury levels of 1 part per million, twice the acceptable level of 0.5 parts per million. 320 pounds of fish from Grassy Narrows were seized in the incident. And the retailer was ordered to dispose of the fish, which was later dumped in the Kenora Waste Transfer Station, full of mercury. Quote, we know too well the tragic consequences of failing to listen when the people of Grassy Narrows say no to destructive industry on their lands, said David Sohn of the environmental group Earthroots, continuing, it is time for Ontario to stop repeating the mistakes of past and respect Grassy Narrows. Respect their vision for the land they always have used and cared for. We cannot allow the province to be complicit in poisoning of even one more Grassy Narrows child. Starting in March 1962, Dryden Chemicals Limited, a subsidiary of Reed Paper Limited, operated a cathode choler alkali plant that promoted chlorine and sodium hydroxide for the bleaching of paper. The mercury chloral alkali plant was demolished in 1971. Yet the poison persists. Finally, a quick update from Attawapiskat. The Northern Ontario community has been their third-party manager, which was imposed on the community, although they had better rates, better use of their budget than Toronto or many other Ontario communities. The third-party manager withdrew from the town of or the community of Attawapiskat, giving co-management, co-control back to the community in a one of the more recent examples of Canadian colonialism. This has been AWOL Radio here on 100.3 Sound FM, Waterloo, Ontario. Host Dan Keller in studio with you today. I've been with you for the last hour, 2.5 hours. And we're cutting into some music and other. I don't see Scott from Topic of Conversation quite yet. Hopefully he'll hop into studio without too much delay. And in the meantime, we're going to play some tunes. We're featuring at first some Loki. Let's do some Loki to finish the show off. And then we're going into a whole bunch of music here on AWOL Radio. And here on Sound FM, soundfm.ca, 100.3. Campus Community Co-op. Radio Waterloo.
Circling, all wanna be down. Two TVs get robbed like jewels in the Queen's crown. They see now, no door for a rebound. See now, they call me a fool cause I speak out. People are humans, not minors. Animals, this violent, tyrannical system is fallible. Hand in the loot at the minute you see them. But the biggest looters are the British Museum. This happened here and you think it's an accident. Just relax till we slip into fascism. And the fear gets drilled into your hearts. But remember, these children are all ours. Kill a black man where he found him. A soldier can kill an Afghan in the mountains. A petty thief can get ransacked from his housing while the bankers are lounging. That's my surroundings. Took land no one in your family has heard of. Before you sleep, whisper the mantra you learn. Cause never will there be a day the cameras are turned off. Runs this country, Cameron or Murdoch? Who's the government? A government that can't govern. Can't you figure it's way bigger than Mark Duggan? Bigger than Smiley, bigger than John Charles. Hundreds are dead, not one killer is on trial. Just a familiar sound of hysteria. Bombs over Libya, but not this area. Down in street, I can find villains. Cut education, privatised prison. Surprised by theft when it's organised. But mass immorality is normalised. Assumptions surrounding the looting of London. But this is a system consumed by consumption. It happened here when you think it's an accident. Just relax and we slip into fascism. And the fear gets drilled into your hearts. But remember these children. And all ours.
Oh, because the government that we've got in this country at the moment and the ones that we had in the past will not listen. Do you know why they won't listen? Because they don't live and breathe this. Their kids don't live and breathe this. And that's the biggest problem. If they lived and breathed this, they'd be different.
Different, 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 different.